In the last few weeks, we've been covering a serious topic on fostering a normal, healthy, proper fear of God within the heart of all the young people. And we've covered it from several different angles. And today, we'd like to continue our fellowship from the last time with the title being Our Attitude Toward God's Discipline. Last time, we fellowshipped about God dealing with us as with sons, and how those whom he loves, he disciplines and he scourges his sons. But today, what we'd like to fellowship is what our attitude should be. What kind of an attitude should we have when we come under the Lord's disciplining hand? You know, of course, the first thing for us is that we should be quite sober to find out from the Lord what is happening and why this is happening to us. And so this verse we had last time from Isaiah 26, verse 8 says, "Indeed, in the path of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. Your name, that is your memorial, is the desire of our soul." Here you have the first point concerning our attitude and the way that we should take when we're being dealt with by the Lord. When his disciplining hand comes on us, we should wait for him. That means we have to stop our being, calm ourselves down, not talk too much, but really just spend some time before the Lord and open ourselves up to the Lord to seek him, to find out what it is that is on his heart. Isaiah 26, verse 9, the very next verse says, "My soul desires you in the night. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks you at the dawn." Boy, desires you in the night and seeks you at the dawn. You see, you have such a heart here that's being portrayed as one who's waiting on the Lord, who day and night is just before the Lord, seeking him, waiting for him, and desiring him. I believe this is really the right and best kind of attitude we could have. You know, in Hebrews 12, it says that we should not regard lightly nor faint when we're reproved by him. Not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when reproved by him. You know, when things come to us, you know, it's very hard to really identify how it is that the Lord deals with us and how he disciplines us. But he disciplines us by the things that happen to us, the things that come along our way. And as I've mentioned before, it can be an illness, it could be a financial problem, it could be losing our job, losing our health, some kind of an accident, we fail a test, we don't get into a school that we want, something comes along that touches us deeply. And it's very easy to regard lightly, saying, "Oh, that's my mom," or, "Oh, my dad's too strict." Or we may think, "Oh, you know, you blame others, you make some excuse, or you joke about it." And it's very easy to regard lightly when the Lord's hand comes upon us, and we miss it. We absolutely miss it. We didn't get it. We didn't realize that the Lord was coming to us because he desires to do a deeper work in us. And because of that, we missed it. We just absolutely missed it. And then the other kind of reaction, it says, nor faint when reproved by him. The other is to get an attitude of just giving up, quitting. I don't care. Okay, I forget it then. Forget it then. You just have this kind of, we see this in our experience, in our own experience and in the experiences of others, this kind of attitude. So today in our podcast, really would like to fellowship with you about a proper kind of attitude when we're being dealt with by the Lord. You know, there's a story in the Old Testament, a very serious story that follows, well, it's the story of David when he committed that gross sin of adultery in taking Bathsheba, who was Uriah's wife. While Uriah was out at battle, he was one of David's mighty men, fighting the battle, David took his wife. And then she became pregnant, And so trying to cover it up, he had Uriah killed in battle. And then he married Bathsheba and took her to be his wife. Well, when the prophet came to David and exposed him for what he had done, David had a very serious and thorough and deep repentance. Of course, you can read this repentance in Psalm 51. You could say that David's repentance was the most thorough repentance that anyone could ever make. He really went to the absolute bottom. He didn't have the kind of attitude of, "Oh Lord, forgive me for my sins. Sorry, I did that. I won't do it anymore. Amen." It wasn't that kind of a repentance. He touched the very bottom of the problem within his being. And he repented to the uttermost, realizing that he had brought shame to the Lord's name, and he had caused God's enemies to mock him, and that what he had done was so serious that he should die. Even his life should be ended because of adultery and murder, and either one of those would be worthy of death. And so Nathan, the prophet, when responding to David, said, "David, God has forgiven you." Oh, how wonderful would be the sound of that word. "You will not die," he said. "God has forgiven you." How precious is that? God has received your confession, has listened to your repentance, and has decided to forgive you, and you will not die. But he went on to say, "But the child is going to die. The child that Bathsheba is pregnant with, your child will die," number one. Number two, "The sword will not depart from your house for the rest of your life." And number three, "People from within your own household will rise up to try to overthrow you, and they will commit adultery with your wives in the sight of all the people. It'll do it openly." Well, you see, this was God's disciplining hand on David. David was too much in the flesh. It was obvious that he had been too much in his flesh. And so because of this, the Lord needed an environment for David so that he could not only learn some lesson, but so that his flesh could never get out of control like that again. And so God arranged, well, didn't it? God, it's not like God arranged it, but God allowed a particular thing to take place within David's own family where, number one, the child died. Number two, his son, Absalom, rose up to rebel against him. The sword did not depart from his house. Absalom murdered his brother. First, there was a brother of one of the king's sons who committed fornication with one of David's daughters, and this was the sister of Absalom, and he shamed her to the uttermost. And because of this, Absalom murdered him, and then a few years later, Absalom rose up to rebel against David. Well, all of this was to David a real discipline and a real suffering to him. And this was God's dealing with him. And then it went on like this. So my fellowship today is this, is that when we are in a situation and we realize that the Lord's hand has come to us in a light way, or as this story, in a very heavy way, we should have some attitude, a proper attitude towards God. The first attitude we should have is not regard it lightly. Don't talk about it. Don't be discouraged by it. A loving God who is your Father is dealing with you because he loves you. That's the first attitude we should have. And then the second is in Hebrews 12, verse 11, where it tells us that we should be exercised by it. That means we have to really exercise our spirit to go to the Lord and to find out what is it that he wants from us? What lesson would we or could we learn from this time? And then the third thing is what we read in Isaiah 26 about desiring him, waiting for him, first of all, waiting for him, desiring him, and seeking him. This is really the right way to wait for the Lord, to desire him in the night and seek him in the morning, that our whole being would be quite serious and quite exercised before him to really seek him. And then we come to Peter. In 1 Peter 5, Peter is one who had a lot of experience with God's disciplining hand. And he charged the elders in chapter 5 that you have to gird yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, be humbled under the mighty hand of God. See, Peter's advice is that what you should do is you need to be humbled under the mighty hand of God. When his hand comes on you, don't defend yourself, don't vindicate yourself, don't blame others, don't criticize others, don't say if she would have done that, then this wouldn't have happened. If he hadn't have said that, this would not have happened. Just be humbled. That means lower yourself down, get on your knees, bow down before the Lord, humble yourself, empty yourself, and be nothing. Be nothing before God. In chapter 3 of 1 Peter, he's talking to the women, and what he says here, he is in verse 4, it says, "But the hidden man of the heart in the corruptible adornment of a meek and quiet spirit, which is very costly in the sight of God." In this verse, we see that what is so precious to God and what is so beautiful to him is that we would have an adornment of a meek and quiet spirit. A meek spirit and a quiet spirit. Meek, that means that we didn't fight back. Quiet means we have nothing to say. You know, these are two characteristics that need to be with us when we're under the Lord's hand. First of all, we don't fight back. Again, we don't blame, we don't criticize, we don't accuse, we don't threaten, we don't fight. We have a meek spirit. And secondly, we have a quiet spirit, which means we have nothing to say about it. Nothing to say. Others may provoke us to try to say something. How come you didn't get that position? How come you didn't get to be accepted there? How come you got rejected? Maybe the teacher was unfair. Maybe your parents were unfair. Maybe this, maybe that. And they provoke you to say something. But to have a meek and quiet spirit, this is the right attitude. All of this fellowship is to have the right kind of attitude when we're under the Lord's dealing hand. And of course, in Acts 2:38, it tells Peter's message to those inhabitants of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. He said, "Repent, and each one of you be baptized upon the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." His word to them was repent. You have to repent and to have this kind of a heart, this kind of an attitude while you're waiting for the Lord, seeking him. You can humble yourself, you be meek and quiet, and you repent. And of course, that is followed by the need for us to confess. 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, we just say, "Oh Lord, you're right. You're right, Lord. I'm so sorry. I did this without you. I tried this without you. I was not living you. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have gone there. I shouldn't have done that. I'm so sinful. I'm so sorry, Lord. Please forgive me." And then finally, in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20, this is a very, very touching scene where David, this is now back to the story of David, when David's child was very sick, right after Nathan gave David the word, the child became terminally sick, and David wept and fasted and prayed for 7 days for the child. And eventually the child died. After the child died, David rose up, cleaned up himself, ate some food, and he went to the house of God. And it says this, "Then David rose up from the ground and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes, and he went to the house of Jehovah and worshiped." You see, some sometimes, and especially at times like this, it calls for us to just worship the Lord. Lord, you are the Lord. I just worship you. I bow down to you. I am nothing. You are everything. This is the right kind of attitude we should have. Well, that's all for today. Please visit our website at www.hturners.com. Or if you'd like to respond to this podcast, please email us at feedback@hturners.com. Don't forget, young people, never forget, we are the generation that will end this age. For hturners.com, this is Brother Tom Getz.